Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Brian Carrington, and you are listening to Call Talk for Wednesday, September 15th, 2010. Thanks for joining us today. Our topic today is outsourcing. During the call, we wanted to invite you to ask questions via email at calltalk@benchmarkportal.com or chat with us on calltalk.tv. Or you can call in and ask me a question and interact with the show, and it's easy. Just call 347-857-3117. Make sure you press the number 1 on your phone to let me know that you have a question. Everyone who asks a question today, email or phone on the show, will receive a free copy of Bruce's book, Benchmarking at Its Best. And one person will be chosen at random to win an in-depth reality check benchmarking report valued at $1,500. And now, I'd like to introduce the host of the show, Bruce Belfiore.
Thanks, Brian, and we're delighted to have you as the new producer of Call Talk, bringing new music and helping Sean Veerling, who, poor guy, has been the long-suffering producer of our show.
My pleasure.
Anyway.
Great to be here.
Okay, good. Well, welcome back to Call Talk, everyone. Today's topic is outsourcing. Which communication should you consider entrusting to a partner? And to discuss this, I'm delighted to welcome John Chatterley. John has appeared several times as a guest on Call Talk, and he's a director of research and analysis for Benchmark Portal and a seasoned industry consultant specializing in contact center performance research as well as technical writing and content editing. He's published numerous customized reports, research reports, one-minute surveys, white papers, and has also co-authored numerous books with Dr. John Anton, including one titled Offshore Outsourcing Opportunities. Hence, he knows what he speaks about. His career spans more than 20 years, and he has firsthand experience at all levels of contact center, from a frontline technical support agent, supervisor, analyst, designer, etc. In fact, he set up and managed 2 outsourced call centers in the western part of the United States, so he knows a lot about this topic, and he's got the lash marks on his back to prove it. John, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Bruce, and I just have one comment. You said, I know what I talk about. Does that contradict the notion that I knew what I was talking about in the past?
Well, you know, we're all into continuous improvement, John, right?
That's true.
Anyway, well, plus, John, is it true that you're starring in the new TV sitcom on outsourcing? Is that what I heard?
Well, they offered me a spot as a main boot sergeant supervisor, but I had to decline.
Oh, really? Well, now, why is that?
Well, they wanted me to push through an accent neutralization course.
Oh, darn. I was hoping to see you win an Emmy on this one, John. And actually, come to think of it, it wouldn't have been a bad idea to do that course either.
Oh, well, thanks a lot.
Anyway, John, what do you see as the primary motivators that drive companies to outsource certain of their calls?
That's a terrific question, Bruce, but as related to call centers, the answer is not as easy as one might first assume. Traditionally, companies adopted outsourcing as a means of reducing the cost of their contact center operation, where the labor component of their operating budget approaches much as 2/3 of their entire annual operating expense.
Yeah, so, it's a normal level there, too. I mean, it is usually 60 to 70%, isn't it? Yeah, it is.
The types of calls they outsource for basic customer calls, such as store location, hours of operation, product availability, and so forth, that didn't require anything more than minimal training of their agents to deliver scripted answers. However, over the past decade, outsourcing providers, which are also sometimes known as third-party providers, have shown an increasing ability to provide highly qualified, college-educated, professionally trained agents for duties such as complex customer interactions, like technical support, account transactions, telemarketing, and so forth. And these providers, third-party providers, have developed a specialized competency for providing customer service for issues that reside outside the core competency of the companies that they work for.
Yeah, actually, haven't there been, there's been kind of a pincer thing that's been going on here, because on the one hand, all those quote-unquote easy calls are ones that probably in any event should be pushed towards self-service. So there's been an increasing use of technology to take those up at a very low cost, even lower than you can outsource it for, either domestically or offshore. And on the other hand, there's been an upgrading of the skills of the outsourcers.
True. Very, very, very true.
Yeah. And as a published author in the field, what have you found to be the attitudes of executives toward outsourcing customer service? Have they been changing over the years? What are people feeling today?
At the time when Dr. John and I wrote and published the book on outsourcing, we found that there was a prevailing attitude by the majority of executives that they indicated that they would never outsource customer service to a third-party provider, which was a reaction that wasn't that was not unexpected. But what is surprising to us since is that nearly 40% of the executives surveyed in a recent survey indicated that outsourcing customer service made good sense to them because the decision makers believed that a third-party provider could complete the job function either more effectively, more efficiently, or hopefully both better than they could.
Yeah.
And the reason that they believe this is because third-party providers focus specifically and primarily on that aspect of business that they specialize in, and therefore they are an expert in providing the service. The outsourcer typically has worked with many customers with exact or similar needs and challenges, and thus has the advantage of repeated experience to gain valuable knowledge and to perform the task and the business function better than companies can do internally on their own.
Yeah, so I mean, they sort of follows that the old adage, which is do what you do best and outsource the rest, right?
Exactly. Because this is an outsourcer's provider's core competency, they have established and developed the people, the tools, the processes, and the technology that they need to provide better service than the companies that have complex and multiple business functions, some of which are not considered primary for the company.
Right. Well, you know, if we then move on, there's sort of the big backdrop to outsourcing. So if we move on to address the main focus of the discussion, which is which communications should the folks listening consider entrusting to a partner, what ones would you have them at least think about?
Well, there are a plethora, if I can use that word, of different services. Thank you.
We'll put it in the glossary next time around.
Okay. of different communications that you could that a company can consider, including customer service, technical support, collections. And on and on. I probably shouldn't take time to list them all, but to me, the first and most obvious type of communication that a company should consider for outsourcing is non-native language services because of the growing diversity of our American culture.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I can see that, and we've actually talked about that on other shows, you know, how people are handling foreign language calls, and how difficult it is really to have that capability in-house, and that there's really two ways to approach that. One is to outsource an interpretation service, in which case you're still using your agent on the call, but you're putting somebody in between you and the caller. And the other is just having trained agents in the other language who can actually service the customers in those languages. So there's even two possibilities there. So
yes, and I've been exposed to them through some of the engagements that I've had through Benchmark Portal, where companies have come to us to ask for our assistance in helping them identify and select outsourcing partners. To go back to your previous question, other areas that are ripe for outsourcing because of their non-core competency nature include new product releases or seasonal spikes, promotional campaigns, things like that.
Right. Okay. So things that might be other kinds of competencies, collections, telemarketing, things that may not fall into your basic competence. Well, one of the things, too, that I feel, John, you can tell me what you think, but it's almost like when you're listening to the rhythm of your call center and you hear things that don't sound quite right, like when your car, you know, has this little rattle, or it's like listening to your body when you're pushing it too hard. If you listen to your center and listen to your reports, it'll tell you when your center is out of whack and when maybe something needs to be repaired by somebody on the outside. You know, it's one of those things that you can't do yourself. And I look at it on two dimensions. One is functional, and what functions does it make sense to look at for your center? What's your cost structure telling you when you do your benchmarking and you see that your cost per call is just way out of whack with your industry grouping? What do your workforce management reports tell you? And I happen to be in Minneapolis right now, where it's thundering and lightning, and hopefully it'll clear up. But downstairs in the hotel, Adam Sinkoski, who's been on our show twice, is teaching a fabulous new course on workforce management. And he has one graphic that shows the base level of calls that you can always handle efficiently yourself. And then he's got this part up top that's very spiky. I mean, it looks like a kid with spiky hair. Which are the volumes you need to think about, you know, and those are the ones that you can handle in various different ways, and one way could be to outsource those. Those are the things that I think of. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, outsourcing companies are specialized in that kind of call type. That's really where they find their niche and develop their specializations.
And, you know, the other thing that I think of, too, is that there's this functional dimension that you where you listen to your call center, you listen and look at your reports, all of them from your ACD, from your WFM, that can tell you, hey, you know, or your benchmarking report. You know, if your benchmarking report comes back, you're in the lower left-hand corner and you are less effective, that is to say you have lower quality and higher costs than your industry overall. Well, you know, that could be telling you something. At least consider doing your outsourcing. And another thing is the what I call the relationship dimension. And don't worry, John, I'm not going to start talking about eat, pray, love, or kumbaya or anything like that. But, you know, it's like any relationship. Sometimes you may, on a functional level, say, I need to outsource all of this stuff or a big chunk of this stuff. But on a relationship level, you want to start slowly. You want to see if you can trust somebody with some simple things, and then as they perform well, you can trust them with more complex things. Sort of like teenagers with cars, right? You build up from small errands in the family jalopy to bigger runs in the nice car, right?
And that's a great analogy. In my case, it goes. My father went back even a little further. He put me on a tractor on the farm and waited until I was able to navigate around the farm on the tractor before he even trusted me to drive in the pickup truck.
That's good. Well, I was going to try to top you that, and I don't know, talk about oxen and plows, but maybe
yeah.
I'll just leave it at that. You got me. Yeah, well, you know, I think another thing that we've seen is that there's a lot of professionalism that's been growing up in the industry. You and I have worked on RFPs together on behalf of clients, and they've really become so much more professional in terms of them being able to present themselves and their capabilities, and really sort of blanket you with relationship, technological know-how and everything in a way that wasn't really true a decade ago. So,
yes, very, very, very true.
Yeah, and I mean, that's where you were, right, John? I mean, you were in a center that was an outsource center for...
Actually, several of them over a span of 7 or 8 years. So, yes, we developed a great deal of specialization for some very large companies to take over parts of their business that they really didn't possess the expertise in, and we won accolades for it. So yes, mm-hmm. Outsourcing doesn't have the definition or the perception that it did 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think so. The takeaway here is that there are a number of call types that you may want to look at in terms of, technical support, collections, telemarketing, promotional campaigns, seasonal spikes, new product releases, and the one that you mentioned is the first, the non-native language services. So, I think that's a takeaway for people. And the other thing is thinking about those things in function of what you're learning from your reports and what your operations and your center and your reports are all telling you, and that those can be the things that really help you to decide what kinds of communications you can profitably or appropriately outsource. And that includes communications not only for calls but also for emails, right, John, and chat?
Yes. Outsourcers these days are providing the capabilities for all of the main contact channels, which include, as you mentioned, email and chat. And even though domestically those channels have gained popularity because of the lower cost per contact, when you combine that with the reduced costs of that outsourcers can bring to the table, both domestically and offshore, and have to be competitive, it's a very attractive alternative to trying to do it in-house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is the ability to monitor is so much better now than it was 10 or 15 years ago, again, because of the technology. And so you can really be much more in control of your outsourcer than you used to be, and they expect that. I mean, they don't resent it, I think, the way they may have in the past. Would you agree with that, John?
Well, absolutely. In fact, most outsourcers these days approach the relationship as a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
They work with you to help you do your job better, and you work with them to help to have them help you do the job that you hire them for at a better standard.
No, it's good. Thinking about that too, I was just at the International Association of Reservations Executives in Nashville. My son heard the word reservations, and he said, "Oh, great, you're going to an Indian powwow." And I said, "No, not exactly. These are people who are hotel and cruise lines, that sort of thing." And we've got a very exciting partnership lined up with them. And one of the members of the board, I was kind of surprised at first to see, was in fact an outsourcer. And yet, on the other hand, he was just as animated about all the exact same issues as the people who were representing in-house call centers, because he has all those same issues. And
wow.
He has really partnered in the way that you were just talking about. So, let's see. We've got some questions coming in. In fact, Brian is here telling me, Bruce, let's get to them. So, Brian, what's our first question?
Okay, yeah, I just want to remind everyone once again, if you're listening in on calltalk.tv or if you've called in with your phone, we'd love to hear from you. That's a big part of the show, is to have you interact with our subject matter experts here. So make sure you do that and get the most out of your call today. Now, we do have a question. This is from Stan, and his question is, given the lack of available jobs in the U.S., Do you see a trend with companies bringing their centers back in-house?
John, you want to handle that one first?
From my perspective, I haven't seen a big trend develop there yet, but it certainly would appear to me that companies would be taking a look at that, at bringing calls that have been outsourced back in-house as a way of retaining their staffing. Once they lose these people, it can be costly to hire and retrain them. So if they can bring that part of their business back on shore, I would imagine that it would be a no-brainer for them to do that. But on the other hand, the reasons that they went offshore in the first place or outsourced in the first place is possibly because they didn't have the expertise to handle those kind of calls. And if that turns out to be the case, then I wouldn't expect them to bring them back because that might result in a lowering of their standard customer service, which could then lead to loss of business, and that's the last thing they can afford.
Yeah, if I could just interject, too, that I'm seeing a bit of everything, and I follow a number of reports, and we did a study several years ago with C.B. Richard Ellis, which talked about the fact that in certain employment basins, when you get above, I think it was about 5% of the working population in that employment basin working in call centers, you get dysfunctions. And that means pressures on wages, people skipping from one center to the other. Phoenix was like this, Charlotte, Tampa Bay, number of centers were like that. Well, with the recession, I'm sorry, who was our caller, Brian, here? Who was our listener?
Stan,
okay. With that happening, Stan, obviously in many places that pressure has gone down. And so those places have become more attractive places to perhaps build staff in an existing center than they were even just a couple of years ago. So we are seeing, or I am seeing some of that happening. I'm seeing some people bring things back on shore in-house, back on shore outsourced. And let's keep in mind that there's thousands and thousands of seats in the United States that are outsourced. And there's a little bit of everything going on now where people are trying to find the right solutions for them. But I think that due to the recession, the phenomenon that you're talking about, to a certain extent, does exist. Got another question, Brian?
I sure do. And this one also comes from calltalk.tv. This one is from Greg. He asked, we have a fairly small operation, 65 agents, and we are involved with several call types, including collections. No one in the center likes doing collections calls. Is this a good enough reason to outsource these calls, and how do I convince my boss to try it?
I'm not going to refer these to my cousins in New Jersey. Go on, John. You answer this one. Go ahead.
I was going to suggest to Greg that he might try asking his boss how he likes to how his boss likes to receive a collection call from an unfriendly agent. Seriously, though, if no one in your center likes making a collection call, chances are they're not very good at it and may end up alienating the customer and driving away future business. Yeah. There are third-party providers out there that specialize in handling collections in a way that the customer is not made to feel negatively toward the company. So I suggest that you contact several of them and ask for their help in convincing your boss of the benefit of outsourcing your collection calls.
Yeah, no, I think that's very good advice. And, I think of a company like Capital One that really made a specialty of taking other people's collections problems in the credit card business, and trying to actually turn those people into good customers later on. Of course, they did it with a fairly hefty discount, but, John's right. If people hate doing it, they're probably not very good at it. And the results are probably showing that. And they can always do a sample. In other words, do a pilot with an outsourcer and compare the success of the outsourcer with the success of their internal agents. At that point, they can actually show the boss, you know, that the bottom line is getting better because of the outsourcing.
Speaking of pilot operations, Bruce, I believe that I know because I've seen as well as had experience in doing pilot tests before as a way to lead into an outsourcing situation. Mm-hmm. Because most outsourcers realize that they've got to prove the concept and prove the value if they're going to keep the business. So I would not be at all surprised to see an outsourcer offering right up front, let's do a pilot for you, let's show you what we can do, and then you can decide if you want to continue. So I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, they're dipping the toes in. I agree with you, John. Okay. Brian, do you have another question for us?
Yeah, looks like we have time to squeak another one in here. This call or this question comes in from Monique, and she says, we have identified a queue of calls to outsource, about 600,000 calls per year. We are not required to do a full RFP, and we have little time or resources for a big process. What can you suggest?
Well, Bruce, you want to take the lead on this, or you want me to pick it up?
Sure. Well, let me just say a couple of words, and then I'll hand it over to you. And that is that I think with that kind of volume of calls, that an RFP process of even if it's a cut down RFP process, or it's one that you get help with, is one that's definitely worth doing, because we've helped with a good number of these processes. They're extremely educational. You are really hooking up with somebody who is your partner, and you don't want to get married without dating and without, you know, knowing the field, who else is out there. You want to dance on a dance floor with a few people before you, you know, decide who it is you're going to walk down the aisle with. So, it also is a process that forces you to fully define your own goals so that they're well understood. And, you know, with a few good proposals in hand, your management team can quickly identify a vendor that seems really best suited for your needs. So I would not skip that process. There are ways, and we've done it, to abbreviate the process, but to get most of the benefit of it. John, over to you.
I completely agree with you, Bruce. Having an RFP, even if it's a cut down or simplified one, will help because it'll force you to design your define the goals that you want to achieve. But also, I think it's important to arrange an interview with several of the clients of a prospective outsourcer to learn how well they've been served, and to keep in mind the fact that you can contract for a fixed price, a fixed service level agreement. Within internal employees, you pay regardless of the service they provide, but with a customer service provider, you can more easily ensure the performance up front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are important things. And I have seen situations with outsourcers that have gone beautifully, and situations with outsourcers that have really been tragic. And in all the tragic cases, it could have been avoided had the proper due diligence been done up front. So we're big believers in that, sort of lining up your ducks, doing your analysis first.
I should just throw in for our listeners that if any of them in their call centers are considering this, we'd be glad to help. We've had a lot of experience in helping companies go through this process, and so we invite them to contact us. Not that I'm trying to make a commercial pitch, but no. We do. never, right?
This is a vendor-free zone here. But no, I think the thing is, it oftentimes brings in angst that goes beyond the norm in a call center, because you know that when you're going through the process, you're going to have to interact with your technical people, with your finance people, with your contracting people, with your operations people, workforce management people. It's so oftentimes it's too much of a burden, really, for the day-to-day call center management to handle on their own. So, you know, that's something to think about. And the other thing that we have seen, too, is that people have sometimes wanted to see whether their outsourcer is or could be certified. And that's something also you may want to think about. There's some certification programs out there, including our own, which can give you a higher degree of comfort and your senior management that you're trying to convince, right? A higher degree of comfort that, right, in fact, these people are quality and they know what they're doing and they're going to handle your calls with the same kind of care and attention that you would handle your own.
Yep, and just to get out of the commercialization, we're not the only ones that can provide that service. There are some excellent consultants out there that are in the position to work with a center and help them go through the outsourcing selection process.
Right. Absolutely, yeah. Good. Well, you know, we've come to the bottom of the hour, and Brian, John, I want to thank you very much for your insights, as always. It's always a delight to be on with you, and thank our listeners for being on. And
it's been a thorough pleasure. Thank you, Bruce.
Okay,
well, yeah,
great.
Once again, thanks, Bruce, and also, John, once again, thank you for joining us on today's show, and want to thank all the listeners that have joined us today. And I want to remind you to join us September 29th for the next call talk titled Stop Butchering Your Incentive Plans, Get the Science Behind the Results, No Holds Barred Conversation with Employee Motivation Guru, Dr. Brooks Mitchell. If we used your question today, please email us at calltalk@benchmarkportal.com so we can send you Bruce's book, Benchmarking at Its Best, and don't forget to sign up for our free reality check. Benchmark report to see how well your call center compares to others in the industry. Our in-depth reality check benchmark report takes a much deeper dive into the call center's metrics and is free today for our winner. That is Stan. So Stan, once again, make sure you email me so I can get that out to you at calltalk@benchmarkportal.com. I'm Brian Carrington, hoping everyone has a wonderful day.